open it up with, does anyone here have a perfect home? That's what I thought. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit. If you have your Bibles, about let's go to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to look at a little bit of 11 and 12 tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about, I want to let you know that God sees everything. God has got Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. They went through that. They crossed the Red Sea. God has provided and done many miracles. They're coming up to a place now. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about what it feels like when everything seems like it's starting to fall apart. Now, how many of you can relate with, I feel like everything's falling apart? I feel like my family's falling apart. I feel like everything in my life is falling apart. Well, it's going to look like this for Moses. Moses has got his hands full, and he'll say some things about it. But pulling all these people from Egypt and trying to move them to God's vision into a promised land, land flowing with milk and honey and all the promises there. But God didn't say the journey would be easy. He just said, I'm going to take you to a promised land. And the people are getting a little restless. Matter of fact, they're real restless. Let's pick it up in chapter 11 and verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Before we even finish that verse, the people were complaining. Nobody likes to hear someone complain. Either they are wanting you to jump on their bandwagon and complain with them, or they want you to side with them or just listen to them, but they don't want you to speak against what they're complaining about. They want more people to be a part of it. And when the Lord, or said, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them in the outskirts of the camp. So people lost their lives. There has never been a group of people in all history that saw as many miracles from God as this group right here. And God calls them stiff-necked people. They don't want to listen. They're hard-headed. But they've seen miracles. If you've seen a miracle, praise the Lord, you've seen it. Maybe you've seen two. Maybe you've been blessed and seen four or five, but you've never seen as many as big ones as these people. And yet now they're complaining, and God hears it, and his anger is aroused, and some were consumed by a fire. The people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed that the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And you think it would be over with, but this is not a really good time for Moses and the people. It really isn't. This is just really a lot of darkness is happening here. Attitude displays a lot of things. Verse 4, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, talking about food. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Complaining about how God's feeding them. They want meat. They remember the food that they miss. But it's amazing that they don't talk about the whips and the chains and being slaves and having to do all that. They just complained. They complained over and over and over. And in verse 10 it says, and Moses heard the people weeping through their families and everyone at their door of their tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused, and Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid this burden of all these people on me? Basically, Lord, why you put me in charge of these bunch of grumpy people. You know, there's pastors all across America that are complaining about the church that they have, the people. Now, sometimes the pastors are out of whack and they're out of line. Sometimes, a lot of times, the people are out of line. And here we find out that God's man, Moses, is very upset. He said, did I conceive these people? Verse 13, where am I to get all the meat to give to all the people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because this burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please just kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Moses is complaining. He's complaining about the complainers. Does this kind of sound familiar? Mom complains to dad about the kids that are complaining, or vice versa, and there's complaining in the family. Moses just says, Lord, why don't you just take me out? I'm done. These people are too much. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Just let me be done. Then the Lord pulls out 70. He said, well, you get 70 elders. They're going to fill them up with the Holy Spirit. They're going to prophesy. They did their thing. They're going to do their thing. And then the Lord says this, you shall eat. Because God's going to, all right, I'm going to answer. All right, we're going to give them some meat. He says in verse 19, you shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and become loathsome to you, because you have displeased, or you have despised the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Basically, you're trying to cut the hand off that feeds you. We've all heard that before. Sometimes what we want is not what we really need. Sometimes what we want will get us in trouble. This is what's happening here. Oh, I really want this. I want this meat. God was taking care of them. When you get time, you can read all the other scriptures. God was bringing them manna from the sky, heaven food, every day. But they wanted more. They wanted meat. And then Moses says something. Now Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. He's talking about just the men there. There's over 1 million people here. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough food? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And what Moses is doing is, he's walked on, it's just all the miracles that Moses has seen. He's almost coming to a point saying, Lord, this is pretty big. Can you even do this? And the Lord has a response. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? It amazes me how quick we go to something else. We dodge God when we are praying for something because we really don't think God can do it. We really don't think that God can do it. You see, in all this mist here, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. It's going to get on about 70 people. This is going on all at the same time. And there's these two guys that are running around. They didn't go into that. They kind of stayed in their own area. And the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they start prophesying. And then somebody comes up, running up, in verse 27, and a man ran up and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So here it is. We got all this going on, and all of a sudden now we got somebody coming up with something else. Somebody else. We got these two guys, and they're prophesying over there. You ever get enough, and then you get more? You think enough is enough? And now more is coming. And so Joshua, it's just one of his right-hand guys, and Joshua is an amazing guy. The whole book coming up here in the future. Later on, he doesn't know it, but he's going to take Joshua is going to take Moses' place. Joshua is a fighter. He is a warrior. But he says something out of jealousy. He says, so Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, this is a key guy, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. They shouldn't be doing that. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Are you really jealous for me? No, basically you're jealous. Moses says, "Oh, that all the people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit in all of them." You see, there was leaders back then like Moses and others and David wishing that others would receive what they had. There was a difference between Moses and the people. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. And there was now 70 people that had it, and they were prophesying. And then there was a jealousy piece. You see, here it is. Moses expected to a point complaining from the people. He's heard it. He didn't need one of his key guys right here mingling up in some junk. He didn't need it. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so basically what happens is God brings in all this quail. He just brings in all the quail. They fly in, fall down, and they get ready to prepare it in verse 33. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. See, not everybody was grabbing up on that meat. It's like, man, we don't need to really do that. But there were some that were right up and into it. And those people, a great plague came on. And then the hits just keep on coming. How many of y'all I have said this to the Lord many times. I watch how I say it now, but I'd still say it before the Lord. I get a few hits in my life. Y'all been there? Life hits? I'm walking away and go, "Him, come on, Lord, come on. Another one, another one's going to happen." And the hits just keep on coming. Bring it on. And you get like that and you say, "Come on, give your best shot, people. Give it your best shot." I'm going to tell you, the best shot Satan uses is the people that you love the most. Here it goes, chapter 12. Then Miriam, that's Moses' brother. This is his brother and sister, his brother Aaron. Hey. You expect people maybe to drop the ball, maybe to ruffle some feathers, but come on, the people that are close to you, come on. Are you serious? Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Side note. I'm going to jump in the New Testament. I want you to be careful how you speak about preachers. You don't like a preacher, let God work it out. This isn't boasting on preachers, it's just what the Word says. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this, chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the Word, preaching, teaching, and doctrine. Also it says in Hebrews, and there's a lot of other scriptures, chapter 13, verse 17 also. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And there's a lot more scriptures, but we need to be careful how we speak against preachers and people that preach. Doesn't mean we're better than anyone else, but there is, we are held at a higher level and we'll be judged harder by God. And God expects more from us, and we don't need people chomping at us because it's already hard enough. And believe me, when the Scripture says we take care of the souls, yes, that is our number one piece. We love you as a we love you as a person, but our most important part is that we want to care for your soul. That you know the gospel, that you know that you're saved, that you know that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God is the Creator, and all these things. We're to teach that, and so. Here it is, Miriam and Aaron had a problem. A little bit of gossip going on. Miriam's going to do some serious gossiping right now. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because the Ethiopian wife whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. They're poking at him. They're picking at him. Moses don't even know really what's going on. It's a little chatter over here. You ever chatted about somebody over here? Chatted about somebody over there? But they did it to the leader. Be careful how you talk. When I say about, be careful how you talk about God's anointed. And I want to remind you that preachers who are anointed, God has called them. And believe me, in another sit down sometime, you want to ask me, I can tell you what's happened to some preachers who stepped way out of the Word in the will of God. God has a way of disciplining his men and his women, as we're going to see. So here they are. Without all this already losing people, like the crowd started with million people coming out of Egypt. This crowd's getting smaller because they just won't listen. They're hard-headed. And so they're coming through this part, and they lost all these people, first because they displeased God, and this fire came up and it consumed a lot of them. And then they complained about God, about not having meat, and they complained and wanted to go back to Egypt and get all the food that they got there. And then some of those were done by this plague that took them out. And now he's got the people that are close to him, let alone Joshua, already saying what he's saying. And here we got Miriam and Aaron. Everything is falling on him. And we also saw that Moses already said, Lord, why don't you just take me out? God didn't take him out. God left him there because God has a purpose for him. Now Moses is going to hear it. So they said, this was the gossip. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. I will also tell you, the Lord knows how to protect. Some people don't think the Lord protects, but the Lord protects. And I believe the Lord has protected his believers more than we think he has, as a group and as individuals. Satan is a headhunter. John 10:10 tells us that he's a killer. Comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And nothing can bring you down more emotionally than when your family is right against you. This was his go-to. This was the high priest, Aaron. This was his sister, Miriam. And the Lord heard it. But the scripture says in verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Kind of funny when you hear something like that. Oh, there's none righteous, none like Job on the face of the earth. God has a tendency. He really knows their name. He really knows who they are. But verse 4 is a wake-up call. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Moses, I don't think really knows what's going on. He says, he's like a parent, come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So the three came out. You, you, and you. Kind of what happens when their parents come in and says, I want to talk to you, you, and you. Come on in here. They did just that. This is a time when God is working, still working through Moses. And it may not look like it, but he's still working through Moses. Just because some things aren't going good doesn't mean that God is still not working. Amen? It doesn't mean God's left you. This is a really bad time for Moses and the people. Chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13. It goes on and on. This is a really bad time, but God was still with them. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. Right now, my knees would be shaken. The Lord God himself is coming down. He's using a cloud because man can't look at God. Come down in a cloud. And here they are. They're coming in and they know. I think they already know because your sin comes before you. You already know. They already knew what they did. And they went before him. Then he said, this is what amazing to me. God doesn't always ask us questions. Now, if you go back to the garden, there's a few questions that God said. Adam, who told you were naked? You know, there's a few times when God says, hey, I got a question to ask you. But most of the time, God just comes down and speaks like he's going to here. He's not asking them any questions. He's going to speak. Hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. And not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? There's the question. Why was you not afraid? Be careful how you speak against your brother and sister in Christ. And be extra careful how you speak against pastors and those who preach and teach the Word of God. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Take your complaint up to God. Don't gossip it around. Don't gossip around. I'm telling you, you're working in the hands of the devil. I'm telling you, that's what the devil loves to do. He loves to tear things down by through gossip. And when the cloud departed above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous. So she had leprosy, as white as snow. Some people say, why didn't Aaron get it? Aaron's a high priest. Not going to get it. And when he ended up getting it, he's part of that, and God used him to help heal him. Aaron does exactly what Aaron's supposed to do. He's going to intercede. Look at me now. If you are a strong Christian, you're going to understand what that means. You may have done wrong, or somebody has made done wrong, and that they are in trouble, or whatever's going on with them. Somebody needs to intercede. And that's what preachers are supposed to do. Not just as preachers, but others. We're supposed to intercede. We're supposed to intercede, even when people are guilty. Even when we've done wrong, we need to intercede. Do we not pray for our nation? It's screwed up a lot. We intercede by praying for our nation, right? We got kids in our family. We got grandkids. We got that are messing up, and we intercede for them. Amen? They're doing wrong. But somebody needs to go in there and pray. And here it is. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, Oh, my Lord. He didn't say my brother. He said, oh, my Lord. He knows who the leader is. Please do not lay this sin on us. Because Aaron knew, not only, but God spoke through and to Moses. Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly. He says, we have done. He takes ownership in it. When you sin, take ownership. It passes a little quicker. Just take ownership of it, okay? If you have a hard time taking ownership of your sin, you've got a spiritual problem. You've got a maturity problem. Please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. That's what the priest is supposed to do. Talk about sin. We've sinned. This needs to be taken care of. And he speaks to Moses. Moses, you and God are like this. Will you not hold this against us? Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. They've seen leprosy. They've seen it before. Aaron is pleading for not just Miriam, but also his sister. You know, we need to be pleading to the Lord for our family members. And some of our family members have done some really bad things. Amen? Amen. And sometimes they need to go through some of the pain and suffering that they're going through. But we can ask God to intervene and maybe relent some of that. Okay? Does that make sense? Please do not let her be as one dead. In verse 13, so Moses cried out to the Lord. He heard from the priest, which was his brother. It's also his sister. Listen, I want to tell you, when people sin in front of you, it should hurt you as a Christian. We should feel bad. I can't believe they did that. Not butchering, not doing what they did. Remember, what did they do? They went out and gossiped. They went out and gossiped about him. In the flesh, we would want to fight back, wouldn't we? We'd want to, oh yeah, you're getting what you deserve, or go back and attack them for all the things that they did. You do that to me, I'm going to do that to you. But no, that's not what Moses does. He cries out to the Lord saying, please heal her. Oh God, I pray. And then the Lord said to Moses, this is going to be a tough one. Because there needs to be a lesson learned here, right? Sometimes there needs to be a lesson learned. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is going to be hard for some of us. If her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Got to go back to some other scriptures to read all that and understand that. But there's a disgrace piece. There's a shameful piece. She'd be shamed for 7 days. She's a leader. Didn't act like a leader. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. 7 days can be like grounded. 7 days outside the camp. Outside the camp. She got leprosy. 7 days. Because that's what they did with people who had leprosy. Because they didn't have no... They said, put them outside the camp. 7 days. Here's what we get. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. They waited. Nobody could move until these 7 days. Kind of almost like corporal punishment. Military style, right? If anybody knows the military. Somebody screws up, we all pay for it. Nobody can move. Basically, when everybody said, why aren't we moving? I don't know. Miriam did something. Why are we not moving? Mary and Aaron are talking against Moses and his wife. What? Ooh, what? Don't want to be part of that. People were learning. They had to wait 7 days. Couldn't move. How many of y'all like to go on a vacation until you can't go for 7 more days because somebody didn't put their paperwork in? Spouse isn't going to be too happy about that, and neither are the kids. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't move for 7 days. Here's what I want you to get as we're getting ready to close out here. And the Lord spoke to Moses in chapter 13. I know I'm going fast over this. I want you to send some spies out into the land. Now what's going to happen is the spies are going to go into the land. They're going to come back, and most of them, 10 of them, is going to say, oh, we can't do it. We can't do it because there's giants in the land. There's this guy named Joshua, and Caleb said, come on, let's bring it on. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Now God is very unhappy. God wants to destroy them all. But what does Moses do? He intercedes for them. God says in chapter 14, verse 12, and I'll close out, I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them. I'm done with them. I will make you to be a nation greater and mightier than they. God says, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to work through you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm done with these people. They're hard-headed. These people don't want to do anything. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stand above them, and you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations will have heard of your name. Fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring the people. Listen, what is Moses doing? He's sticking up for the same people that he didn't want to be with 2 chapters ago. Through all of this mess, Moses was growing. He was growing through the complaints and all that. He was growing with how to intercede, how to love. God was letting him speak his heart out. And now, he says in verse 17, I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Let me tell you, God did not need to hear all that. He knows who he is. He is full of mercy, full of love. But it was here. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray. According to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now, then the Lord said, I have pardoned. The power of interceding. Yeah, God is still, these people are not going to be outside the camp for 7 days. They're going to be out for a lot longer than that. They will not enter into the promised land, but God will protect them. Their clothes will not wear out. Their sandals will not wear out. God will protect them. They're a hard bunch of people. But Caleb and Joshua, God will bring them into the promised land. What do we get out of all this scripture I read tonight? Is this: be careful how you complain. God is listening. You have one life to live. You'll live it to the Lord. And your life is going to get messy at times. And be careful who you point fingers at. Be careful how you gossip. The best things to do is stop what you're doing. Talk to the Lord. And if you got to do what I do sometimes, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Listen, I'm talking to the right person. I'm talking to God. I'm making my complaints like out to God. But I will tell you, when you start to complain to God, it isn't just in moments. He'll turn that around. The Holy Spirit will start turning that into praise. It just happens. It just happens. Because He's worthy of praise even in our hard times. And we'll see God begin to move. But there is sometimes discipline. And the anger of the Lord rises up. Listen, I've seen the anger of the Lord in a couple of churches. I've seen discipline in the Lord in a couple of churches. The fear of the Lord come up on a church. That's a very scary thing. But also know that God is full of mercy and abundance and love. And our families are just like churches. We have problems. Not everybody in the family is floating along great. Not the kids want to get out of the boat. They want to go to another boat because they think it's much better. They think you're a horrible dad sometimes. They think you're a horrible mother sometimes. But regardless, whatever they're saying, don't we still intercede for them? Even when they leave our homes, those of you who are parents know that when they leave your home, you even pray even harder for them. And we've learned to intercede for them. But I'm also reminded that somebody interceded for me when I was young. When I was in my 20s and stupid. I was so thankful for those people who interceded for me. I need to intercede for people now. I don't need to be like Miriam. Aaron and Miriam, don't throw them away. They were good, great people. They were right there with Moses. Miriam has a beautiful song in Scripture. But we are people. And even good, godly people mess up. Give a little grace. Give a little grace. And always remember this. Remember who God is. Because there is a God. And He is watching. And you are His. And this is His world. Father, as we close out, there's a lot tonight. Each one of these chapters is a message. And there's message within each one. Some of those, even those, I spun through them so quickly. But Father, may we have gotten something out of this. Lord, I know there's been some things in my life recently that have been all over the place. I thank You, Lord, for listening. I thank You for those that are interceded with the things that I had to work through myself. I thank You, Lord, that You've given me a heart, Lord, to also intercede for others. Even when some of them said some bad things about myself, that I'm still praying for them because I love them. I don't like what they did. I don't like what they said, but I still love them. And I thank You, Lord, for showing me how to do that and not be like the world. Always wants to give back what was given to them. I thank You, Lord, for Your abundant love and mercy and forgiveness. Tonight, as we get ready to go into our altar call or move, whatever You'd have for us, I pray Your Spirit would just speak to those who might be struggling with gossip in their life. Not just that they may be gossiping, but other people might be gossiping and saying some things that are not true about them. It's very hurtful. For others that feel like everything is collapsing in their life and in their family, in their marriage, they see all the negative. I pray, Father, that You would just let them see a blessing and give them a sign or something to let them know that You're still working, that You're still there, that You're still in the midst of that storm and that crowd that's just saying things. And Lord, for anyone that's struggling with their family, sometimes family is the most meanest, hardest people. And they hurt. And those cuts are the deepest. They cut the deepest. I pray, Father, for them. That with Your healing power, we can work through that. That they can get through that in time. But that they wouldn't just come out healed, but come out stronger. Interceding for others. We thank You again for this story. We thank You, Lord, for its truth. In its power to help us today. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.